You've been lied to, but you don't know how. You've searched. You've struggled. You've cried out. You want the truth, but where is it? You've wandered. You've fought. You've strived, and you have not been satisfied. What is truth? Where is truth? Who is truth? The kingdom of God. Mind control. The last days. Higher dimensions. Unity. The power of faith. Discovering the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. God has promised that he will hide us under his feathers, and under his wings we will trust. His truth shall be our shield and our buckler. Discovering the Truth with Dan DeVaughn is the premier program that is designed to center you on the kingdom of God, to equip you with faith in Jesus Christ, and to unveil the truth behind the lies. This program is designed to show you how to become more than you have ever imagined through the power of truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And now, prepare for your host, Dan DeVaughn.
You're listening to Discovering the Truth with Dan DeVaughn. This program is designed to center you on the kingdom of God, to equip you with faith in Jesus Christ, and to unveil the truth behind the lies. This program is a production of Bride Ministries, and you can find us at www.bridemovement.com. Now, what are the depths of the Illuminati? On this program, we have done a lot of investigation into hidden things, occult things. Many of you are familiar with our special guest that we have on regularly, Carolyn Hamlet, who came from an illumined bloodline. Well, today we are going to be talking with another individual, and this individual is very special to me personally. I have had the opportunity to know them now for quite a while, and we have been working together. Why? To get them deprogrammed. Now, at Bride Ministries, we have an agenda to help people suffering from dissociative identity disorder due to mind control agendas, satanic ritual abuse, government-sponsored mind control, various things like this, in order to help people get their lives back. And, you know, many of the recipients of this abomination are those that are born into high-ranking families, bloodline families, and the guest that we will be talking today is no different. He is actually from a number of Illuminati bloodlines, and his story is so radical, I can only let him tell it himself. We'll be getting to him in just a minute. Before that, I want to say that we are continuing our agenda to help survivors. Through the ministry, we are underwriting the cost of helping 6. We want to move to 7. We are bringing on another coach, and we are just absolutely running after this. I believe is one of the heartbeats of God, is to create solutions for people. We are growing a team of DID coaches. We want to expand that and eventually get to the point that we build a facility. We are training people to do work with those needing deliverance, inner healing on levels that, well, the church has not even understood in many cases. And, you know, in that last phase, which is phase 3, we want to expand and build facilities all over the world to help survivors. Now, we are moving forward with that as we are able, as the Lord opens the doors, as the financial provisions are there. And as usual, I want to take an opportunity to thank all of you that listen to this program, that are jumping on board to help us grow the vision financially, prayerfully, and otherwise. We right now need your help to move forward. Also, what we are doing this week coming is launching the next phase of discipleship. Now, All of you that are going to be involved in this phase of discipleship already know what's going on. You will be getting a packet of the material we'll be going through based on your respective group, whether you're in the Grace series, the In Christ series, or the Kingdom series. And you'll get to review that a bit before next week when we actually get started. So I am so looking forward to that, to meeting the many of you that have been on my waiting list, some of you for months and months. So in addition to that, I do plan to release Kingdom Government and the Promise of Sheep Nations in September as a physical copy. It's only been an ebook up till now also. In the month of October, I plan to release Higher Dimensions, Parallel Dimensions, and the Spirit Realm. Keep an eye out for that. Lastly, I want to keep talking about the fact that we are planning to create an internet-based ministry service that will integrate technology like iPhones, laptops, all kinds of various electronic devices to allow people to not only enjoy the Word, various guests coming on to share things, including myself and a worship experience, but also the ability to engage in meaningful and deep dialogue with people around the world that are all coming to the same conclusions and on the same page. And so we are looking to do that, to create that. Folks, there's so much exciting stuff. And you know what? I am so grateful that those of you that have been following me, many of you are just getting excited and on board with me. So together, we are going to move forward, folks. I'm not going to delay this any longer. I know what you're here to listen to. We'll be right back on the other side of the break with our guest, Robert Vandreist Mitchell. And I have to add, as we're getting to our guest, that this program may be extremely triggering to those of you that suspect you have or could have dissociative identity disorder. So this program has what I call a trigger warning. And if you find yourself becoming highly anxious or extremely stressed as you are listening to the information our guest is communicating, I encourage you to stop listening, calm down, and get yourself together before continuing to listen to the program. Use wisdom. We'll be right back. Well, we're back on Discovering the Truth with Dan Duvall, and folks, we're going to be getting into it today. Again, as I said in the beginning, trigger warning. If you believe that you are a survivor of satanic ritual abuse or other kinds of highly traumatic agendas, just moderate your listening on this program. And if you find yourself going into high states of anxiety or other uncontrollable states, just stop listening and allow yourself to calm down. Before we introduce our guests, I'm going to pray briefly, and then we're going to be getting into it. So, Lord Jesus, I just come before you in prayer. I thank you for what's about to be explained and expounded upon during this program. I plead the blood of Jesus over this program and those that will hear it. Lord, I pray for your protection and the facilitation of reception of information in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now, folks, today we're going to be talking with a gentleman by the name of Robert Vandryst Mitchell. And he is an Illuminati defector. That's what you're getting today, a true insider. He is a survivor of satanic ritual abuse and government-sponsored mind control agendas. His bloodline links him to a number of Illuminati bloodlines, not just one. And the simple fact that we are doing this interview today is the result of a culmination of miracles. It's a series of miracles by God that has led us up to today. And in order to even introduce this interview, I'm going to have to explain a little bit about dissociative identity disorder and what that means for our guest today. Now, dissociative identity disorder is a state of a single human body having multiple personalities within that body. This happens because when traumas are introduced to a child at an early age, in order to survive, that child will do something known as dissociating. When the traumas are severe enough, those dissociations actually branch off into complete alternate personalities. When introducing the ideas of government-sponsored mind control agendas or satanic ritual abuse, this is done on purpose to children in order to get many personalities for the purpose of programming. In other words, they split a person's core, they get parts, and they tell those parts what to do, what to think, how to act. And we have, on this program, Discovering the Truth with Dan Duvall, spent a lot of time talking about this subject. We have an agenda to help people that have been subjected to these things. And we're spending money on this very thing. And so this is exactly what happened to our guest today, Robert. And when you begin to understand that personalities can be split off and programmed, what we as coaches and also counselors run into is that within a body, whether it be male or female, the parts that express themselves as alternate personalities can be male or female. Of course. Hold on. I'll just be able to cut this out. In Robert's case, he has many parts that are both male and female, and we are actually going to be speaking with one of his parts today, and her name is Lauren. And so, for those of you that are unfamiliar with how dissociative identity disorder works, this is going to seem very strange. This is why on our website at www.bridemovement.com, we have a tab called Mind Control, where you can go to and find a lot of material through interviews with Dr. Preston Bailey, with another guest that we've worked a lot with, Carolyn Hamlet. We also introduced a series called Are My Memories Real with Dr. Bailey, Carolyn Hamlet, and another survivor named Lauren. She goes by Lauren Grace. And you can check all of those out to give yourself a background on what I'm explaining to you now, if this is very unfamiliar territory for you. But I need to explain this before introducing our guest, because we are going to be talking with a part of Robert that is named Lauren, and she will be speaking on behalf of Robert and everyone else on the inside today as we get into the truth of what happened in Robert's life. And in doing so, a lot of elements of what's going on in the Illuminati are going to be disclosed. So, with that said, Lauren, welcome to Discovering the Truth with Dan Duvall.
All right. Thank you, Daniel, for the intro. And it's an honor to be on here. And, yeah, I think some of the information that we're going to disclose on the behalf of Robert, our core, going to be probably mind-blowing in some ways. Especially so far, I remember you had not an altar, I think, before, on your show.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Lauren, you are the first person that I'm talking to on my program that does not identify as the core, or at least a piece of the core of a person that had dissociative identity disorder.
Okay. Now, yeah, we know, as we found out through our counseling, that a high number of Robert's core apparently were completely blown away during his birth, as we found out during the counseling session. Yeah, if you have to try to tell these people, they kind of think, oh, you must be coming out of an asylum. But unfortunate, although things are happening with people like Robert. And yes, I was created through trauma by his programmers for certain functions on the inside. And we always started the counseling. You started the counseling with Taylor, one of the main protectors, I think, over 16 months ago now.
Yes, it was last year.
Yeah, so a lot has happened in those times. Mm. We're still a long way off, by the way. It's still going to take years, especially after we have been rocking the boat. We have been now doing, over the last 8 sessions, quite a lot of rescuing and dismantling of the internal centers, and covered a lot of altars. Well, I think we must come now in fragments of altars. As you explained to us, not all are probably of Robert's, but even from other people.
That's
even more amazing, to be honest, because that means in Robert's, or even cases of other people, especially when they go to a secular counselor, those people never can be saved.
Well, that's exactly it. And folks, this is the other side of the story. I have been personally working with Robert and his parts now for a little over a year. I have seen a lot happen during that time. These are the things that blow the mind. One of the references that Lauren gave you were to core parts, parts of the blueprint that God designed Robert to be, that were removed from what I would call the systems. And again, language, if it's strange to you, go back to our website, bridemovement.com, click on the mind control tab and begin working your way through that information, because some of this is very strange language. But a system is essentially an organized way that processes are run in a person's subconscious, and it's presented in the form of cities and buildings and all kinds of things going on. The parts that Lauren had referenced, well, the Bible says that God has cast our sins to the bottom of the sea, and this is like a realm. Well, we found that several parts of Robert, 14, I believe, to be exact, were secreted away to an area at the bottom of the sea. They were not even inside of Robert's systems to be worked with or healed. And so when you talk about a secular counselor's ability to help a person with the kind of fragmentation that Robert has survived, it is impossible, because God has to literally send angels in this case to retrieve parts that are dimensionally distanced from the person's system. They're not even available for integration or healing. And so, you know, there's so much that we could just rattle on because of everything we've uncovered, Lauren, but I want to let you introduce Robert to my listening audience. What bloodlines in the Illuminati does Robert belong to?
All right, quite a number of them. The main ones over the last centuries, and Robert's background goes to also into the Celtic and Bavarian roots, and even some goes to the French, roots. From his mother's side, there are three major ones, or four. He goes to the DuPont family, intermarriage and crossing of that bloodline over a couple of hundred years ago. From the DuPonts, even further back in time, they got crossings with the Sinclairs, as Robert comes from, from England, or at least the UK originally, his family, that is, they came over in between 1620 and 1630 as grandmasters in the Masons. And so they got crossings with the DuPonts. Mm-hmm. That was when they were in the U.S. They had crossings from his mother's side with the Sinclairs in England, what is a very prominent bloodline, among other things. And also they had crossings, genetic crossings, with the Collins. And the Collins is a very dark, satanic bloodline as well. And they are, this bloodline is also famous, if I'm correct, or correct me if I'm wrong, but goes, I think, to the witch hunt in the 17th century, I think, in Salem.
Okay.
So, and also the Collins apparently are called also the new royalty. They are the culmination of all the other royalty families that came before them, apparently. Also, Robert's family further back in time from his mother's side go even to the Merovingians, among other bloodlines. From his father's side, the main blood, one of the main bloodlines that plays an important role is the Bowers. Mm-hmm. And that ties in what is Germanic from Bavaria, and this also ties in with families that Robert dealt with, as the Busch family, particularly Busch Senior, the Windsors, and the Rothschilds, especially the Rothschilds. So Robert has, you could say, direct correlation through the root line of the Bowers to those other three bloodlines as well. And all three of them has played an important part in Robert's life as well. Especially Robert was brought from the age of five by his program and Dr. Green to rituals, so well within the US, but also abroad among countries like the UK. Mm-hmm. And Germany, among other countries. And he was forced over time to partake through this also into the ritual things and things like that. But we talk about that later. But I said the Bowers has played from his father's side an important role. The name that you introduced me on, the Bit Van Dreist, mm-hmm. that is part, but is Robert's stepfather's family. And they also high Masons as well. They came to the U.S. in 1780, 4 years after the so-called Independence Day. And they were grandmasters as well. And they also, again, Germanic, Bavarian, again as well. So in Robert's case, he is up till his neck into Illuminati background, in this case from three directions.
Okay. Then that's right. And so you mentioned a lot of high-profile family names.
Unfortunately, yes. Robert always wanted a normal life, whatever normal is, but never became true in that for him and for his sake.
Mm-hmm.
And he certainly has paid his price with it.
Let's talk about secret societies and their connection to Robert's bloodlines.
Now, all secret societies, well, most of his family members were all parts, besides standard three grandmasters in the Masons. They also were all parts among groups like the Skull and Bonus, Bohemian Grove, and a couple of others. The Knights Templars is another one. I know people will say Knights Templars. They will say, I thought that they died out. No, not really, because the Knights Templars in 1300s only went underground, and from there they operated further. They infiltrated and created the banking dynasties that we have now. They were, by the way, the Knights Templars, the first bankers, if people were not aware about that.
Mm-hmm.
It was part of the reason why they were hunted down, because they became too powerful for the European kings and for the Pope at that time, that I put a price on the head, and that is the reason that I had to move. Another group that Robert's family are part of are the Jesuits, at least from his mother's side, because they are also highly Roman Catholics, and Roman Catholic Church and the Jesuits go hand in hand, as you probably know yourself.
Right.
Through your research. And his family are mainly operational within the military and intelligence community, and also in the military-industrial complex. His mother had a role within the military-industrial complex. At one point, she was a team leader for negotiators that did negotiations with governments and manufacturers.
Wow.
And she died in 2002. She came clean about things about Robert, what she wasn't allowed to tell about the family, about the things that happened, and that was in 2000, including the thing that she told was that when she was highly pregnant, they did on a frequent basis electroshocks and other things on her, with needles and everything on her tummy, on where the child is within the womb, in order, as she said, to already start on Robert's programming. And if I'm correct, that is what they call pre-birth programming. Is that right?
Well, folks, I mean, there it is. And as coaches and counselors, what we find is often the Holy Spirit is revealing is that there are pre-birth traumas from the womb, traumas from conception. And what our guest is explaining to you is that Robert's mother confirmed this is what they do.
Yes, she was not allowed to tell any of this to Robert ever. And also the fact that Robert was not even known where he was born or how, and she told that he was born while she was in the flight back to the U.S. And he was born, as she said, some 12 miles southeast from Point Montauk in Long Island above the ocean. And so he was born also 5 weeks early, as she said. And so, yeah, you could say it's a hell of a way to get born in the air, what I would think would create quite a trauma when you come into this earth, on this earth. And the location where he was born certainly also plays another role later in his life, as you want to talk about as well, the Montauk Project. So you got there another synchronicity, not to mention in our counseling, if you remember, as you said yourself, within a certain 2-3 square miles, you saw in your vision that God gave you during the counseling where possibly Robert's pieces that were broken up during his birth were buried on the ocean floor of the soul fragments or the core fragments. And initially when you said it, I thought, what is he talking about? I mean, I had a hard time believing it myself, but later on the evening I had a confirmation. As you said, I had to watch for if angels come and they will give you confirmation or not. And as I told you later, they did. And they found in the location what you saw, 14 of Robert's pieces of his core. And I must say, I never had heard anything like that ever before Robert. I was even flabbergasted, if I'm honest.
Folks, it's flabbergasting how horrible the things that happen actually are. We have found pieces inside of the ocean floor, other dimensions and realms, dimensional prisons, obviously hidden in prisons within a person's own system, and also imprisoned in the systems of other people. It's very, very horrible. And wow. Okay, so now, Lauren, we're getting into this here. There's a lot of secret society connections to Robert's bloodlines. You brought up the birth, also its significance with the Montauk Project, which we're going to get into in a little while. Now, before we get there, we're on the subject of the Illuminati. We're on the subject of Robert's family, his background, his lineage. Now, this has afforded Robert a lot of involvement and also awareness of what's going on. Now, what can you tell us about faction wars within the Illuminati?
Yes, that's a good subject, by the way, because people always think about the Illuminati as families as only the Rothschilds or the Rockefellers for the U.S. Well, in reality, on the Illuminati level, especially country-wise, the U.S. is just a baby state. People always think that the U.S. is the top dog within the Illuminati level. It's further from the truth than that, because on an Illuminati level, the U.S. is a baby state, and the older European countries, or the ancient states, nation states, they got within the hierarchy a much bigger role than the U.S. Concerning the Illuminati, it's the pinnacle of the highest hierarchies within the secret society networks that are overlapping us within the pyramid. And you see within the various pyramidal structures of, let's say, the Knights Templars, the Council of Foreign Relations, the International Institute of Foreign Relations, and all those other groups, they all interlock in each other through various lines. And on the top, when you get the final picture, as let's say like a pyramid, you find then the top 13 bloodlines back. Robert goes at least to 3 of those bloodlines as minimal, besides the 13 that also Springmeier mentioned in his book. There are many others as well, but the thing is about the Illuminati, and they are fractioned. As I said, people always think about the Rockefellers or the Rothschilds. But imagine, if the Illuminati is that powerful as people think, and they were only one group, right now, you and I wouldn't speak any longer in freedom or relative freedom. Because we would have already been tucked away in FEMA camps, and we would have been already killed off as Christians if it was only one faction. At the moment, behind the scene, there is a faction war going on, because the Rothschilds found out in the 70s, after they fought in the early 20th century, that they had killed off a very important Russian bloodline, the Romanovs. And in the 1970s, Robert at that time was around the was in the mansion of Evelyn de Rothschild, and he heard this outburst when he was told that the Romanov, or certain people within the Romanov family, had survived, and they had been building up in quiet way their empire. And they took little by little back the control over Russia. And this group, the Romanov Illuminati faction, or they call them now the Gnostic Illuminati, one of their spokespersons in this world right now is, among other two people, David Wilcox and Benjamin Fulford, who all now who seem to believe the lies of this Romanov faction, especially what they have promised the world. But in a matter of fact, the Romanovs are even worse, if it comes to it, than the Rothschilds. But the Rothschilds are now in a heavy fight for total control with the Romanovs. And in this case, the Romanovs controls the Russian Federation. They control China, North Korea, and a few other countries as well. There were a few other countries in Europe who were planning to cross over, but so far they have not done it. I think also this has to do with another thing what happened in, I think, when was it, 2010, mm-hmm. because we had in 2010, Japan wanted to start negotiations with the Romanovs, and they were warned by the Rothschilds through their, one of their assets, George Bush, who also runs the Odessa Group. It's a group that is in every major secret intelligence agency, and they are a clandestine group that are doing all the drugs trafficking into arms trades and any dirty thing out there. And this group had stolen in 1998 four nuclear warheads from the Ukraine at the point that the Ukraine wanted to hand them over to the UN, to the Atomic Agency of the United Nations. And they have used one of those nuclear heads on the sea bottom and made it to an explosion, and that created the tsunami that also had hit the Fukushima power plant. And we all know now what happened after the explosion and after the tidal wave and the fallout and everything else. But that was a warning by the Rothschilds. Don't try to talk with the Romanovs group, or otherwise you will pay the price. And there's a heavy war going on, silent war, between the two groups now. Also, the Romanovs made a deal with certain factions within the Muslim world as well, who are now being used against any interest of the Rothschilds. And the Rothschilds, you talk about the Zionist Jews, among other things. But as I said before, people always seem to think when you talk about the Illuminati, it's only one group. No, if that was the case, as I said before, you and I wouldn't now talking in freedom. We would have been in camps a few decades ago.
This is just incredible. And I remember when you told me about the whole thing with Fukushima and what Robert knows about that. I was losing it.
And that was just a warning also to other countries. Don't try to go in negotiations with them or crossing over, because otherwise a similar fate could happen.
But the takeaway you're telling us is that the Illuminati is not a cohesive group with...
No, they are fractured.
Mm.
And we always think about... You could say there are three main factions. You got faction one, that is what they call the Rockefeller faction, but in essence, the Rockefeller take their orders from the Rothschilds in the end. The Rockefellers are nothing more, in a way, like floor managers. In this case, over the department store, United States, as a corporation. But they take their orders in the end from the Rothschild faction, but is centered within the United Kingdom. That is the heartland of the Rothschild Empire,
mm-hmm.
at least of the banking side of it.
Okay.
Because we still got also the French side, who is even deeper into the occult, while the British Rothschilds are the economic power.
Okay.
Because they're controlling probably 95% of all the banking worldwide, especially central banks.
Now, you said that there's three basic factions. So we have the Rockefeller Rothschild. I am assuming the Romanovs fall into a second category.
Yes, they are the third faction. And as I said, the Rockefellers operating under the Rothschild faction. So they are one faction in a sense now, at least within the fight against the Romanovs. Because the Romanovs became quite powerful, especially that they now control the, China, for one. They are also the controlling factor behind North Korea. So you got already two superpowers with a lot of nuclear power in weaponry and whatever type of other technologies, not to mention in manpower, especially China, but probably has also the highest or the biggest army in the world in manpower.
Okay. Wow. Now, where do the Oppenheimers fall into all of this?
They are falling into the camp of the Rothschilds. Roberts, in the 70s, he was brought on various occasions with Rothschilds, not only for rituals to Africa, countries like Nigeria, Ghana, South Africa, but he also, or one of his altars, were also pulled out and they were used in negotiations. But the Oppenheimers, they run in the African brands for the Rothschilds. Again, like floor managers.
Okay.
As the Rockefellers. And as the Rockefellers are mainly within the oil, pharmaceutical, and also to a certain extent in the military industrial complex, while the Rothschilds, they are into more the mainstream business and bank, especially banking. Now, as one of them ever said, I think that is noted in history, I don't care who runs the country as president or as king, so long as I printing the money, because in the end, who controls the money press, that is the one that controls the country.
Got it.
No matter who is in power, if you control the money flow, then you control the economy and the country, no matter who is president, prime minister, or even king.
Now, as we're looking at the Illuminati, okay, many researchers have concluded, well, they're primarily Luciferian, and a lot of biblical scholars and researchers have concluded that Lucifer is one of the names or titles used by Satan. Well, Satan obviously is not a human being. He is a fallen power. He's a cherub. So that is an angel. And as we look at the hierarchy of the powers of darkness, there seems to be some transitionary points where there is an exit from the humans that are being implicated in these agendas, and there's a emerging with the heavenly powers and those that are affiliated with the Luciferian agenda, if we can just use that as a blanket term, the agenda against Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And so in looking at that transition, we run into a number of councils. And Robert has some knowledge of various councils, and I just want to ask you about them specifically and let you tell our listening audience what Robert knows about some of these councils where there really is a transition. What do you know about the Council of Merlin?
The Council of Merlin is not per se a human council in the sense in the physical world. It's a council what is in the what you may call astral planes or other realms.
Okay.
And it consists out of various beings. Besides human beings, there are also beings that look differently. It's not only per se humans. There are human members on this council. But they take, you could say they take various forms and shapes. Some could look like, not per se like what we know as a reptilian or amphibian, although there are a few members that look, can be perceived like that. But when we talk about other realms and other councils, it's people must remind. A good example is probably when you take a movie like Star Wars,
mm-hmm.
and you see there in this, what was the council called? The Jedi Council.
Mm-hmm.
You see in this council beings, so humans as non-humans, non-human shapes, who all have one and the same goal. In this case, in the Jedi's, they are standing then for peace, at least in the storyline. so as we told. When you take the Council of Merlin, it consists so well out of, let us say, human and non-human forms. There are no grays on that council. If people think about non-human forms,
okay.
Some you could say they look like angels with their wings, mm-hmm. and they got various skin tones. Some beings that we know of, they got a bluish shade,
mm-hmm.
and some can vary from the average human up till 12 feet tall. So that's quite a height.
Now,
compared to the average human.
Well, absolutely. I mean, it sounds like what the Bible would call giants or Nephilim.
Yes.
Has Robert been to this council?
Yes. He has been working out of his non-physical body. He worked for this council, and he has been training mainly with a certain group of children. The children that are also known as Indigo and Crystal Children.
Oh my.
For this particular council. That is for the Council of Merlin. Robert also went on certain expeditions, and he has seen quite a number of kids being killed during battles in what were called like demon slaying. But he has seen in a number of battles up till 2005, he has seen quite a number of things happening. And concerning the Indigo children, they seem to be enhanced in one way or another. But also, when you look to the whole Indigo or Crystal thing, is that there is a silent war also against them, especially by the pharmaceutical. Because when you talk with a lot of parents of those children, you find out that a lot of those kids has been put on a number of cocktails of drugs in order to subdue their abilities. But also seem to indicate that the government or the people behind the government seem to be afraid of those kids. A lot of parents told Robert also, because he was in various groups, that a lot of kids were not allowed in school unless they were on various cocktails.
Now, Robert has been either involved with or had knowledge of a number of other councils I've only heard referenced in passing. Typically, there's not a ton of information given about any of these. And so I'm just going to ask the question, what knowledge does Robert have about the High Council of 13 in America?
Robert has been actively used by the council. He was operational under the council in the various uses that they used him or the altars in. One of these people that he had to report to were people like George Bush Sr., among others. Mm-hmm. And another one, but she died in the 1990s, was Doris Duke.
Mm.
As Taylor May mentioned to you before. She, on the age of 93, sacrificed herself at the end of her life so that the next one could take over her last breath and all her powers. And I think that was in a ritual in October of 93.
Now, this is something that is very interesting. And this is something I've been told more than once, is the transfer of powers as one high-ranking person or person holding office dies. Can you give us a little bit more detail as to what that means? Why would a ritual be done for the next in line to receive powers from the person that was formerly holding an office?
Now, the powers are mainly spiritual, and we may live in a physical world, but a lot of the activities that are happening are on the spiritual plane, as you probably know yourself through other survivors. When there are rituals taking place, and we may go in on maybe in another interview, is when there are rituals, portals are opened, and beings from other realms and dimensions are let in, within the circle, that is, and then they absorb certain things that they need. The thing is with certain people like Doris Duke and others like her, depending on their purpose and their bloodline that they come from, and the Duke family is one of those very occult and occult families who are going back to wizardry and all that kind of thing, going back for hundreds of years. How you call the male? I tried to think of the male version of wizardry and witches. Warlock,
maybe.
Yeah, warlocks. When they at the end of their career, if you like, or their life, the only way how they can give their powers to the next one or to the next generation is through a certain ritual in which the one that take on the new role is taking in the last breath during the dying process. So she take on the spirit and all the knowledge of the one before her, and then she take on the role that not the other one did when she dies. Why that happens, yeah, so far we know it happens for hundreds if not thousands of years. I don't know exactly how all the spiritual how it exactly works, but this is so far we know, and also what Robert has witnessed on a few occasions. But it happens on there's a certain function within the Illuminati, especially within the ritual network, that one high priestess give her knowledge, not verbally or in written form, but just through her last breath, but also contain part of the spiritual knowledge and part of her soul, and that will live, and that will live into the next one that take on the role. And this is so far. I think this goes back at least probably till Babylonian times, because when we talk about bloodlines, mm-hmm. that is where we go to that far, to Babylon.
Now. This is just huge, and folks, you know, I mean, here it is. We're talking about it. You know, there's a lot of people that want to philosophize about what the Illuminati is doing, and you know, look at trends and watch movies and point out, well, look at this clue they're leaving us here. Look at that. You know, it's very rare that you find someone that is an insider that has enough freedom through the work of Jesus Christ in their lives to be able to speak on any of this stuff. The truth is, I had wanted to try and interview Robert almost a year ago. Actually, it was over a year ago before we had started working together. And what happened was, before that was able to take place, a dark altar that was loyal to the agenda coming off of the Rothschild family and everything else that Robert was implicated in took over for a while. So it would not have been possible for me to interview in the way that we are interviewing today. This is one of the ways the secrecy is so firmly held, is that without a break through the power of Jesus Christ, it is very difficult for anyone to talk.
Without Jesus Christ, we would have never been where we are now.
Wow.
Robert would have been back and deep under control. And or we would have been even in now, they still need Robert, so they wouldn't have killed him and got to that, but we certainly would have been still under deep control, because they still need Robert for a future event some days in the future. But without Jesus Christ, we wouldn't have been talking in freedom and living in the way we do. It doesn't mean that things are easy, because we ended up also, when we moved to our current location, we live near a military field, but is adjacent to a coastline somewhere, where also rituals taking place. We live in a very sparsely populated area. Also, we live roughly about 70, 80 miles from a major NSA base, underground base, in a certain country. And the last time that they tried to take us in a MILAP, military alien abduction, or staged, was in 2013, October, when Taylor was thankfully already out, and through the blood of Christ, their attempt failed. If you may recall.
I remember that.
And yeah, it was 2013 that you came in our life through another friend of us, mutual friend of us, Caroline Hamlet. I want to thank her for that, that she brought you in our life and all the things that came out of it. And yeah, but it says, without the power of Jesus Christ, and without Jesus Christ, we would have never lived in freedom.
There it is.
Any survivor, in my opinion, who can do it without Jesus Christ and can do it on its own, in my opinion, sorry for offending some people maybe, but to me they seem delusional, because when you talk about demonic programming, what was done on Robert through his programmer like Dr. Green, aka Dr. Joseph Mengele, if you have done programming like that, it never can be undone without a spiritual approach from God and Jesus Christ. And some group leaders on the internet can say, oh yeah, you can do it on your own. No way. Sorry, but if you have deep Illuminati programming through satanic ritual abuse, and they use demonology as basis for this by attaching demons and strongmen to altars and what more, it can only be undone through the power of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Folks, with that said, I'm just going to put it out there. You know, Robert's journey really began when someone told him to pray Romans 10:9, which says that if we believe with the heart man believes unto righteousness, but with the tongue confession is made unto salvation. And so we have to believe that Jesus Christ is God, and that he came, died for our sins, so that we could be redeemed back to God. And he, through his finished work on the cross, allows us access to God, allows for us to have eternal life, and allows us access to his power, which is what trumps the power of darkness. And that's this very power that we lean on as we work towards getting individuals like Robert set free from the powers of darkness. Without Jesus Christ, there is no hope. And, you know, if you've been living without hope and you're listening to this because you're just simply fascinated and trying to find the truth, you're a truth seeker, but you don't know Jesus, it begins with a surrender. How do you get Jesus? You surrender to Jesus. You believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he was born of a virgin, that he died, and on the third day was raised back to life, that in his death he took your sins upon himself, so that through him you could be accepted by God. And if you're listening to this and you're saying, wow, Daniel, you know what? If Jesus stepped in and allowed for someone that comes from several Illuminati bloodlines to bring him glory and to be on a journey towards freedom, then I want to sign up. You can pray with me right now. Father God, I come before you in prayer. And I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. That he died for my sins. And on the third day, he rose again. And ascended to heaven, where he stands at the right hand of God. And Lord, I repent of my sins. And I receive cleansing by the blood of Jesus. I thank you, Lord God, for your forgiveness. And I receive Jesus Christ as the Lord of my life. Thank you for saving and redeeming me. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, I only want to say, without that Robert made his first step in August 2013, you and I would have never met, and I certainly would have not been set free as I have been now. It's only because of the power of Jesus Christ, and especially for Robert making that first step. Folks, if you are listening as also survivors, I don't say when you make that step, things are going to be easy, because I will be honest, hell will break loose on the inside. And I have seen that myself firsthand. But in the end, it is worth it to be set free. I feel it is worth it. And I feel every survivor deserves to be set free. Because you didn't choose to be used, because you were born into a certain bloodline like Robert did. And so far in Robert's family, he has been kicked out, he has been a traitor, and they'd rather see him dead than alive. Thank God Robert was always strong and pig-headed anyway, so he never listened to them, but also got him in a lot of trouble. But if you are born in one of those bloodlines and you are seeking freedom, I only can say it's only through the power of Jesus Christ and what he did for us to die on the cross that you can be set free. But you have to make the first step. That is, in my opinion, the first condition.
Now,
and I feel that also Daniel can help survivors in this as well. If they would try to contact you or others like you. What I said is what I only want to say, but it is worth it. I don't say it's going to be easy, because hell literally will break loose on the inside, but in the end it is worth it, and every survivor deserves to be set free.
I believe that.
That's what I wanted to say about this part.
Yes, and that's just beautifully stated. I want to, at this point in time now, kind of backtrack, because before we really, you know, began to get on, the solution, the source, Jesus Christ, the one who came to bind up the brokenhearted, we were talking about councils, and you had mentioned some about the Council of Merlin, the Council of 13. What do you know about the Council of 9?
That's another spiritual council, but besides in what they call the universe, or in some of the layers, but has also various beings, and this council is deeply connected with the satanic realms, with the realms of Satan and the fallen angels. And I want to warn people, if you are reading books like one of the books was about, I think, Council of 9, everything but is channeled, get rid of it as fast as possible. Because when you're reading books who are channeled, you're connecting yourself with the demonic realms. Sorry for saying, but it is that plain and simple. And that means, in technical, that means that you allow demons to get into your home, even in your body. Because when people doing certain exercises in those books written by some of those members of those councils, human and non-human members, that means, especially when they do exercises with chakras and all that kind of thing, that means that they literally invite demons to hijack into their energy bodies.
And
and the Council of Nine. Yeah, it's one of the councils that is interlinked with the fallen angels, at least with certain factions of them, and also with a group who call themselves the Ascended Masters.
Wow.
Who operate from Tibet and other places.
Wow.
But they are also, again, related and connected with the fallen councils of the fallen angels. And they are not as they claim to be that ascendant at all. Yeah, ascendant in evilness, not in goodness.
Amen. Now,
sorry,
folks,
for saying, but
don't apologize. You know, folks, you may be asking yourself, okay, well, you know, I hear what you're saying, but where does the Bible mention anything about anything like this? Well, let me just speak to that for a minute. The Bible has a lot to say about realms and dimensions and higher planes where certain activity exists. And the Bible uses this term, heavenly places. So when you read in the Bible, Ephesians 6:12, and you see that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in the heavenly places, what you see is a snapshot or a photograph of what Robert is describing to us in great detail. Councils exist of heavenly beings, and they abide in what are called heavenly places. And they do exist on other planes and dimensions, even though they influence and interface with Earth. He also used the term energy body. Another way to think about this, if you want to take it back to the Bible, what does an energy body have to do with the Bible? Well, the Bible uses a term called spirit man. There's elements of us that go beneath the flesh, and these are deeply understood by occultists and those in the Illuminati. They understand it a lot better than we Christians do many times. And so they have a different terminology. And that's some of what you hear, Robert. And really, we're talking to Lauren inside of Robert doing. Now, I just wanted to say that real quick so people are able to follow what you're saying. What can you say about the Council of Seven?
That is another interlocking council again, who in its interlock with the Council of Nine, and again also with the fallen angels as well, and they got slightly different than Nine, although they still also related again with the occult and the New Age communities around, and they again promoting all the New Age garbage about things as with your chakras and everything else. People don't realize when you do chakra work, and maybe some people now gonna yell at me from their radios when they listen. People don't realize when they starting to work on their chakras, and I think this is very important, because when you open up your chakras, you open up portals, and those portals can be hijacked from the demonic realms. And that means, instead of what you think with ascended beings coming in your life or guide you, in reality, you're going to be guided by demons, in the literal sense. And as you may have noted, as you have maybe talked about in other shows as well, angels, or fallen angels, they can present themselves in very beautiful shapes and forms, or disguise them in humans. What is only a projection, by the way. Well, in reality, they are as ugly as possible, and if you could smell them, then you certainly know, because when you're around a demon, or when they start to transform into true form, as some of the other species that we may talk about today or another time, is that they have a certain smell with them. Sulfurous. It's a smell as among things like rotten eggs. I know you probably know that type of smell.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. When you talk about demonic entities, and especially when they're entering in their form into your room, then when you smell a thing like that, vaguely like rotten eggs, yeah, then you are dealing with a demonic entity, what is there. But those councils, part of those councils and their agenda is to promote anything connected with the New Age, especially connected with energy work, because for a demon to possess a body, we need to invite them. And how do we invite them? By opening up chakras.
I have actually picked up on, because every portal, a portal is a doorway, folks. And
yes,
a portal, being a doorway, is, well, it works in both directions. You can
yes.
walk through a doorway in or out. And I have realized that the chakra points are actually also exit points for deeper dark altars, dark ones, to work witchcraft internally against people in a individual's life that might lead them to help. So when those chakra points are wide open in an individual, you know, you want the blood of Jesus and the armor of God on you as you go to begin to help these individuals.
Another thing, how to keep contact with them,
uh-huh.
is at least Robert was taught from very young age to meditate and do yoga. That is another avenue also, so that the demonic realm can keep you under their control.
Mm.
Robert was taught from the age of 2 or 3 to start with those type of practices. And this not only counts for Robert, this counts for anyone who practicing yoga and meditation. Is in essence, when you do that, you invite literally demons and the demonic realm inside your life. I would advise people who are involved in this to stop as soon as possible and to close all those doorways.
Hmm.
Because that is one of the avenues how demons can possess a body, if we are invite them over. Even if we don't know it on a conscious level. But of course, Satan is not going to tell you about it.
No,
he disguised him, in this case, as Ascended Masters or his fallen angels. And they present him like beautiful Nordic beings coming from so-called the Pleiades or God knows where.
What?
I think they should have done a better job anyway, because there's one case with a Swiss farmer who claimed to be in contact with a Pleiadian woman called Senjata. When I heard that name, and knowing from the Book of Enoch, there was a fallen angel leader by the same name, only written in a different form, but we still talk about the same beings. Fallen angels, and people must know that anything connected with New Age comes from origin out of the demonic realms.
Wow.
And I would advise people, if they got any books or any course, get rid of it as fast as possible.
Well, and I concur 100%.
And pray over it and close any doorway within the house or within your immediate area, because even just reading a New Age book, even just one page, is already an invite for demons to come in.
What can you tell us about the Council of Three?
That's another council that's interlocked again. The various councils are also on the various dimensional levels. The Council of Nine got beings or demons, if you like, or dimensional beings from various star systems, what we call star systems within them, on the various councils, by the way. And if I'm correct, also the Bible, if I'm correct, mentioned certain stars as well, if I'm correct, in a certain way. I think the Pleiades are mentioned.
Yeah, the Bible does mention the sweet influence of the Pleiades.
Yes. I'm not sure if Sirius, but Sirius is also a major influence. Again. But we come later on that within the Montauk part anyway.
Okay.
Because they play a big part beside a few other groups in the Montauk Project. Now, yeah, the chair, mm-hmm. the Montauk chair, is one of the items that were given by beings who claim to be from Sirius.
Wow. Well, did you want to say anything else about the Council of Three before we...
Robert had some connection with them, not all too much, not us in comparison to the others.
Okay.
But he knows that they are interlocked again.
Okay.
He had maybe on a few occasions that he met a few of those beings, if you like.
Okay.
But that his physical connection with that council was limited. But now, he knew of their existence, and there are, of course, many other councils and sub-councils again as well. And it's very multi-layered. But most of all those councils, again, are related and go back to the source of the fallen angels. And I know a lot of people say, are fallen angels and angels? They don't exist. To me, if people want to believe it or not, don't matter, because those forces are still there. And people seem to think, if I don't believe in it, then it doesn't exist. Unfortunately, the reality doesn't work like that. So I must say, Satan has impressively done a great job, because he has convinced a lot of people of the lie that he don't exist, as we see around in the physical earth. Even in the churches, I have been surprised how apparently a lot of Christians seem to think that the story about Lucifer or Satan is just a bedtime story. What to me also tells me then, if people say, oh, Satan is just a bedtime story, what they say in essence is also that they don't say that Jesus Christ and God is a bedtime story, because one cannot exist without the other.
Well,
and I don't like to praise Jesus for his hard work he has done, but in that way he has done a great job, unfortunate, and a lot of people seem to fall for this lie, including the churches, to be honest, and that's even more shocking. But then the churches, as you also know, are deeply infiltrated. The Illuminati has been infiltrating the churches for at least the last 100, maybe even 150 years, on a multitude of levels, because they are also deeply involved in the ritual network, as we may talk in another session connected with Robert.
Okay.
And also Robert has been one of the deeper altars. Robert was also an infiltrator in churches, as Taylor may have mentioned to you.
She did.
And one of his part was then to inject during Bible study class Gnostic text, so not biblical text, but Gnostic text instead, or New Age, or even in some cases New Age BS. And of course sometimes he got people upset in those groups. But that was part of his job as an infiltrator in churches. And a lot of people don't seem to realize, Christians, that a lot of churches have been infiltrated in this way.
Well,
and this is another thing that a lot of Christians should know about.
You're absolutely right. This is something that Christians need to know. The devil is very good at infiltrating churches.
Yeah.
And this is part of his plan. He does it. He simply does it. Folks, if you're wondering what's going on in your local congregation and you've never considered this as one of the things that are taking place, then it's time to wake up and realize the devil is very interested in infiltrating churches.
I came across, I would advise for people to watch, that was about it was about Joel Osteen and Satanism in the Church. They can look up this video on YouTube, and they're using the devil's, the doctrines of the devils, I think it is called, In that video, it is shown about it, especially also with the wife of Joel Osteen, how she is calling upon the exaltation of self instead of exaltation of God. And this is just one example. I think she mentioned something, we should not praise God about goodness, or when we do good, about God, but we do it because we do it for ourselves. And that to me seems like instead of praising God, to me seems this is praising yourself, if I get it correct.
Well,
and they use this in their own church of Joel Osteen, what is apparently a very big church.
Yeah.
And what he does, no doubt there are many other churches who speak in similar tongues. What means that they are doing the devil's or Satan's work.
Well, let me now introduce the subject of Project Montauk, because you have been making a number of references to Robert's involvement, and I want to let you talk about it, because this is an area that is really just absolutely shocking. There's a lot of speculation around Montauk. There have been certain people like Preston Nichols and another individual that really kind of came forward and provided their version of what happened there. And Stuart Swerdlow, and according to what you've told me, Robert was involved in these projects.
Yes, he was one of the Montauk boys, as they call them.
So
he was pulled. He was pulled in by his main programmer, Dr. Green, who was also a genetics consultant to the program from the start. The history of Montauk Project goes, of course, to the funding of that project, what came from gold that disappeared in 1944 from a train in France, with German gold. I'm not sure the total amount, but it was a big amount, and that money was later used around 1970 that I started up this project. And also the Krupp family were one of the Germanic families who were deeply involved on the technological side. Camp Hero was an abandoned airbase in Long Island, what was not used any longer. They had a radar tower with a SAIT radar. It's a certain type of radar that they used during the war or after the war. And one of their plans was, if they could see, or one of the objectives was apparently, if they could use a form of mind control through the aether, through radio waves. In the end, apparently, they didn't go through with that part, because that would bring things apparently completely out of control. But the Montauk Project is a multi-layered project. It's not only mind control, as the book tells. Time travel is also a big part of it. Mm-hmm. Teleportation and time travel. Mm-hmm. And also there's a genetics project. And Robert was mainly used because of certain things in his genetics within the genetics program. And in the Montauk Project not only took place within Long Island under Camp Hero, because people always think with the Montauk Project it's only under Camp Hero. No way. There was an off-world base on planet Mars, what they found, what was very ancient according to their own research and dating and whatever they did, and they started to use that when they found its location on Mars. and the genetics program was run from there. Part of the reason that I used off-world base for the genetics program is we come probably later on that part. I think you mentioned something about this in one of your other shows, I think, on the Heckman, about the Nephilim and things like that.
Folks, by the way, I did mention in my interview with Hagman and Hagman, I did a run through on a presentation I have called Dimensions of Mind Control. I pull a lot of information from various survivors that I work with and interweave it into that presentation. And the part about the Montauk chair and travel to Mars and the presence in an underground base of Nephilim that have been created from pre-flood and post-flood material actually came from the guest I am speaking with right now.
Yeah, it's scary when you think about it, especially the plans that I have for the future, because they were specifically created to be unleashed in the future days.
So,
and this time era that we speak about is mentioned in the Bible. It's in the open.
So when the Bible says in Matthew 24:37, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man.
Yes.
What we're essentially learning there is that there will be a reemergence of various types and forms of hybrids and giants and other kinds of abominations walking this planet Earth. And to make that happen, they are executing this agenda in off-world places to bring it here. I mean, is that kind of the idea?
Yes.
Wow.
The reason also that I chose Mars, because they were afraid for people with psychic abilities, or what they also call like remote viewing and things, is that they thought if we do it in an off-world place, it's going to be harder for people to look in through what they call remote viewing. And also, if they would break out, they would be stuck on Mars because they cannot jump from Mars to Earth. If, on the other hand, if they would, let's say, be on a base under the Earth, it still could escape before it's time to be unleashed.
Now, can you describe? Oh, okay. First of all, did Robert actually travel to this place in Mars?
Yes, physically.
So, how did that work?
It's like a jump room or like a portal, but was opened by a psychic. It's like you got, let's say, this room. It's got a certain inner area, and through the psychic powers, connected with the chair, the Montauk chair, as well the psychic abilities of the one that's sitting in there, in the chair, they can open up, if they think about certain coordinates, they can open up a portal to that particular place. Of course, they need to know the coordinates for that place in the first place. And that's an area we can also talk about later or another time as well, because within the Montauk project, only 1% of all the participants, only 1% have survived the ordeal and been placed in various states back in society. Robert is one of them. That means 99% has not survived the project in one form or another. And another thing what need to be disclosed is people think with the Montauk project that it is only boys. That's a load of crap, load of BS. Because Robert has seen on many occasions also girls there, Montauk girls, and even female programmers and handlers. One of them is even operating at the moment that we speak on the internet.
Let me ask this question. With the chair itself, did they prefer to use boys or girls in the Montauk chair itself?
It's, now, the main psychics were male, and in order to create the energies when they raped the child and underwent many other traumatic things, they used mainly boys as well. The girls were mainly used because of their inherent psychic abilities.
Okay.
For some reason, the mindset of whoever run the program from the top, had a lot of pleasure in, they didn't do it themselves, of course. They had their programmers and the handlers and others doing it. But in order to create the energy for opening up those portals, it were mainly boys that underwent the traumatic experiences. As I said, the girls, they were used later in a later stage when they had fixed the problem with the coordinates, and then the girls were sent back and forth in time to various locations. As we talked about, that you also said on the show that they had created those hybrids from post and pre-flood period, what means that through the Montauk Project, they sent scientists, including also boys, girls, back in time. They collected DNA samples, let's say like from post-flood Nephilim, and also after the flood, they sent it of the Nephilim that died during the flood, that took mostly a year, I think. And they collected those DNA samples, and within the Montauk days on Mars, genetically, they created those hybrid Nephilim who are up till almost 20 feet tall.
I was... And, folks, at this point, I understand that some of you listening to this program have your head spinning. You're trying to hold it together, saying, oh my gosh, I'm hearing things. This is really wild stuff. First, welcome to my world. This is what I hear day in and day out, 5 or 6 days a week with all the survivors I'm working with. So sometimes I even forget, like, oh yeah, this is just the way it is. And so let me back up a little bit and try to just kind of clarify a couple things. One, time and the idea of time travel. This is something that a lot of people have a big problem with. They say, well, it's usually the grandfather principle that you run into. You can't time travel because if you go and time travel and kill your grandfather, obviously you would not exist when you travel back to the point in time at which you left. Well, that only applies if you travel within our actual timeline. Some time travel, it seems, can be done in what I guess could be called potential pasts, or pasts that could have been but weren't manifested, false presents, and what I call possible futures, meaning it's not the actual state of what happened on our timeline, but there are parallel possibilities that exist. And I believe this relates to a passage in Isaiah where God says, I form the light and create darkness. I make good, I create evil, the Lord do all these things. And what we see there is that, well, is God a bad guy because he creates evil? Well, I think he just creates every set of possible realities that could ever be active, and we simply walk into them. Some of them never are agreed with or embraced through our decision making, and so they simply exist as floating realms of possibility. They don't, but if you can travel into them, well, that could possibly be a way to explain what our guest is telling us about. One way or another, there is this agenda that Montauk tapped into for time travel, and this guest that we're talking to is not the only survivor that has told me this. And so all I am suggesting is, take it with a grain of salt. If you can't buy it yet, just put it in the back of your mind and think about it. One day when our guest is correct and we are actually having to face some of these things they're concocting, it's going to help to know where they came from. Now, with that said, okay, you told me that Robert traveled to Mars and he actually saw some of these beings. Can you give us a little bit more of a description of what Robert actually saw there?
Yes. Now, that some of the Nephilim hybrids that Robert has witnessed, some were like the post-Lots and also pre-Lots. In general, they were around 20 foot, sometimes higher. It's like in a way as one of the passages were described in the Bible, in how small we are in comparison. Robert was brought there with other chosen ones, as they were told by their Montauk masters, and also they had schooling in there, and they were taught certain things, and also their roles for the future. And one of their roles was to usher humanity into their new age, into the demonic age, of course. Of course, they didn't use those terms. And part of this indoctrination was that some of the chosen ones also were brought down to Mars. Although Robert was already brought there on a regular basis anyhow because of the genetics program he was in. And how some of the beings that he saw looked like, especially the human Nephilim, about 20 feet tall, some had about six fingers and six toes on each side of their body. They had, in some cases, two rows of teeth, in other cases, just one. They had long hair till the shoulder, but in some cases was like orangey type of color. And what they were told is that their scientists had recovered DNA from the past through traveling back in time, and they brought the DNA samples back, and through this, through genetic engineering, they recreated them, as they were told, they kind of be used back in future times at a certain time. But they also were told there were other events that they had sent people back. One of the other events that Robert recalled that they were taught is that they also had tried, but they failed, they fought, by sending someone back to the time of Jesus' crucifixion on the cross. And they had sent someone back into the skin. I'm not sure how that works, but that's what they were, what Robert and others were taught, that they had sent someone back in the skin of Judas, one of his disciples, in order to collect a file of the blood of Jesus Christ. Because within the blood, you got literally the blueprint and the DNA of the human in it. And they tried to create a duplicate of Jesus Christ in order to get the Christians behind them for their future New World Order. And if you, when you talk about Christians on the earth, you talk about at least 1/6 of the earth population, if I'm correct in numbers. But so far, they told later, they weren't sure yet if they would succeed with that part, with creating Jesus Christ. But that was the other things as well that Robert and others were taught as one of the things that they tried to do. But the Nephilim, they gonna be used in the future time, as they said, what is appointed according to certain books. They didn't mention the Bible by name, but I think when people read the Bible and they read, I think, the book of Revelations, then they should have a pretty clear picture what we are here talking about. Because the various Nephilim hybrids that were in biblical times on the earth as the Bible says, going to be replanted back on in the near future time. And when we talk about near future time, in my opinion, it's going to be between now and the next 15 years.
Wow.
And we already see in a lot of laboratories around the world that they already are working on transhumanism in any form and shape, and also in hybridization programs, in crossbreeding.
Well, folks, our guest, Robert Vandreist Mitchell, has been talking to you. We've actually been talking with one of his parts or alters, that is Lauren. He's going to be back. And there's a lot more that he as an individual and his parts have to share. Believe me, in this program, we are only scratching the surface. So, Lauren, I just want to say thank you for being so brave to do this. And everyone on the inside, I know that's helping to get you through this interview. And folks, you've been listening to Discovering the Truth with Dan Duvall. Until next time, God bless and Godspeed.
Discovering the Truth with Dan Duvall is the premier radio program designed to center you on the kingdom of God, to equip you with faith in Jesus Christ, and to unveil the truth behind the lies. This program has been a production of Bride Ministries. You can find us at www.bridemovement.com. At our website, you can contact us, access resources, and support us with donations. We need partners in order to continue to produce our vision, which is to promote unity in the body of Christ worldwide and assist in the creation and development of sheep nations. Partner with us and be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Until next time, God bless and Godspeed.